We cannot hear the committee on Zoom.
What did she say?
She said, can't hear the committee on Zoom.
Admin.
We can hear you now.
Okay.
Everything okay?
Yeah.
And we're at Maytag here, correcting this already. Good.
I am here.
Good morning. But the young lady name, and I hope I pronounce it properly, Shilpi?
Shilpi.
Shilpi. Okay, and what's the last name?
Davidi.
Davidi.
Yeah.
And my friend Chris over here.
Yeah.
I had some problem with my laptop, and they called numerous times, and Chris came up to my house to make sure things were correct. I really appreciate that. And he had adapted a bunch of stuff, and he knew that I didn't know. And then she called me again several times and emails, and I just say, what a great staff that cared. I said, and then she called in sick. And I said, take care of yourself. Don't worry about it. I'll make it. And Chris bailed me out again. So thank you all. Appreciate it very much. So with that, we'll call it to order. Oh, by the way, it's a hybrid meeting, and we have the, and we make sure we're open to the public. And raise your hand, whatever you have to do, we'll get your attention. So with that, we go to the orders of the day. There's none. Wave sunshine, there's none. And we have a consent calendar. We need a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve consent.
There's a motion by Trustee Wilson and a second by Santos to approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That passes. The first one we have is application for service-connected disability retirement. Voltron Brahmafe.
Brahmash.
Go ahead and pronounce it for me.
Voltron Brahmash. How you doing, Val?
Very good. The police officer, Police Department, San Jose, request for service-connected disability with active 2.26 years of service. And we welcome you if you're here. And Amy, go right ahead, please.
The applicant's name is Valtram Brahimaj. His classification is police officer. His application is for a service-connected disability retirement. The body parts listed on his application are neck, back, right hand, left arm, left hand, right leg, left foot, brain, and loss of motor skills. His disability retirement application was received on 9/27/23. His current status is leave of absence. He does not have a separation date as he is active. His status at time of application was leave of absence. His permanent work restrictions are must be in sedentary positions, no running, stooping, squatting, or bending, no pushing or pulling, no carrying, no arresting individuals, and no providing defense or physical contact. Regarding the accommodation and restrictions, the department could not accommodate.
Thank you, Amy. Russ?
So unfortunately, this is all too easy a one. This is all stems from a horrible motor vehicle accident, or accident's not the right word, that really resulted in major injuries to the applicant. You've already heard the list of the body parts. You've heard the list of the permanent work restrictions, and the department cannot accommodate them. So I think a conclusion of incapacity is obvious, but equally obvious is the service connection, because they all stem from that on-duty, tragic motor vehicle accident.
Thank you. Is Veltram on the air?
Yes, this is Veltram speaking.
Would you like to address the committee before we make a decision?
I just want to say that I'm 30 years old. I would like to go back. I wish I had more time. I wish the department gave me more time. The only reason I applied for this is because my benefits had stopped. And here I am now. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Thank you, Holland. So I know that David probably has a lot of history. It's a really sad that a young man has this terrible record, not the same. So I'll wait for Dave. Trustee Wilson, go right ahead, please.
Yeah. You know, you guys are lucky enough to be in the presence of a great man in our video. Val survived something that most of us wouldn't. Hit by a car at 65 miles an hour from a fleeing suspect. Lived to tell about it. He's made miraculous recoveries to this stage so far, just unfortunately not enough to get him back to full duty. But Val, like you talked with our Vice President Alvarez not too long ago, there is precedent for somebody who disability retired out and was able to come back. You just need to get to that level with your doctors. With that being said, reading the reports, knowing the history, I make the motion to approve a service-connected disability.
There's a second by Santos. All in favor?
Aye.
That is granted. Officer, go ahead. You'd like to address us. It'll be on the consent calendar to the board, which is going to be March 7th. You don't have to attend if you don't want to. That'll be there for the board to review and usually they take our recommendation. Would you like to address us?
Nope.
All right. The best to you. You're granted a service-connected disability. And I say it'll go to the board. Thank you for your service. It's a real shame that it had to end that career, but I'm glad you're healthy at least enough to, I hope, enjoy your retirement.
Thank you.
Val, feel free to reach out to either Kat or myself if you have any further questions moving on. All right.
Next, we have Robert Paul, police officer, San Jose Police Department, request for a service-connected disability. Active, 6.69 years of service. Is he here?
That's him.
Yeah, I'm a chair. Amy, go right ahead, please.
Applicant's name is Robert Paul. His classification is police officer. The application is for a service-connected disability retirement. The body parts listed on his application are lower back. His disability retirement application was received on 9/23/21. His current status is leave of absence. His separation date is not applicable, active. His status at time of application was modified duty. The permanent work restrictions are regarding the restrictions, there is a long list, so please refer to the executive summary in the applicant's file to view. Regarding the accommodation and restrictions, the department could not accommodate.
Hey, Russ.
Again, this is unfortunately also rather a straightforward one. Again, the body parts is the low back. The relevant age is kind of now. As incapacity, you just heard, or you heard Amy refer to the permanent work restrictions in the list. They're huge. And the department understandably cannot accommodate. So a conclusion of incapacity seems clear as a bell. With respect to incidents, there were at least four starting in 2010, but also 2018, and two in 2020. And since August of 2018, Officer Paul's been off 15 months recovering from the various injuries he sustained on the job. So we think a conclusion of service connection is also clear.
Thank you, Russ. Officer, you'd like to address us before we make a decision?
I just want to say thank you. I love serving the city of San Jose. I don't want to leave. I unfortunately at some point due to these injuries, it's just not possible for me to continue doing the job. But I love the job. I love the city. I love serving the city. I love the police department. I'm proud to wear the uniform, and I wish I could keep doing it if there was another capacity I could do it in, but unfortunately that's didn't seem like the case. So I just want to say thank you.
Welcome, Dave.
Yeah, Bobby and I have worked together for a long time. He's a stand-up guy. He'd come in and you know he's just in pain the entire day. But he was out there serving the community and did it very well. He was one of our training officers, one of our premier training officers. Helped train a lot of the new officers that we have. I would say today is both a happy and a sad day because he doesn't want to go out like this. But this, you know, allows a new chapter to move forward. So with that, I will make the motion to approve a service-connected disability retirement.
There's a second by Santos. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. With that, it'll go to the board. It'll be in a consent calendar. If you'd like to attend, you can. With that, Trustee Wilson.
Now, Bobby, thank you for a long career and everything you did give to this department and this community. It does not go unrecognized. Sorry, you're not going out on your own terms, but like I said, this new chapter, and you know, like one of our former chairman says, maybe we can get a beer someday. So, thank
you. Best to you, and hope stay healthy as best you can.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Appreciate it.
And Bobby, you have my number. If anything comes up, give me a call.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
So next we have Arundio Rodriguez, Christopher Murphy, fire captain, San Jose Fire Department, request for a change in status to his service-connected disability retirement effective January 30th, 2020 with 24.57 years of service. Is Captain Murphy here? Sam, you're going to take up for him?
I talked to him on Friday. He was in a hotel room on vacation in New York City with him and his wife both having COVID and being quarantined for at least those 4 days, plus how much longer. He said he was going to try to come in by Zoom, but I don't see him.
Hi, this is Chris Murphy. Hello, committee. I apologize. Zoom video doesn't appear to be working, but I can hear you, and hopefully you can hear me.
Well, I hope you're better and well. Like a dice, throwing the dice. It's tough with COVID, but best you and your wife. And with that, we'll go to Amy. Go ahead, please.
The applicant's name is Christopher Murphy. His classification is fire captain. His attorney is Sam Swift. His application is for a change of status to a service-connected disability retirement. The body parts listed on his application are left shoulder. His disability retirement application was received on 1/24/20. His current status is service retirement effective 1/31/20. His date of separation is 1/30/20. His status at time of application was full duty. His status at time of separation was also full duty. Permanent work restrictions are no heavy lifting, pushing, or pulling greater than 25 pounds, and no repetitive overhead work at or above shoulder level with his left arm. Regarding the accommodation of restrictions, the department could not accommodate.
Thank you, Amy. Russ?
Hi. So the relevant date for Fire Captain Murphy is January 20. The body part we looked at is the left shoulder. Sandra and I both recommended the committee that it adopt its recommendation, the granting of this application. As to incapacity, you heard the permanent work restrictions and that the department couldn't accommodate them. So we think incapacity is well established here. As to service connection, we noted that in a sense, Fire Captain Murphy was on full duty, but in a somewhat illusory sense, because he was also taken off duty as of that month, the relevant date for us, January 20. So even to the degree that part of January 2020 was on full duty, he still was subject to the permanent work restrictions that our independent medical examiner concluded were appropriate. So we think the full duty issue is sort of an illusion, a red herring, and it did not influence our recommendation. As to service connection, we noted the four injuries, 2006, 2008, 2011, 2019, and the conclusion of our IME that Fire Captain Murphy's employment with the city contributed in a real and measurable way to his incapacity.
Thank you, Russ. Captain Murphy, would you want to address the committee before we make a decision?
I appreciate you reviewing my case and wish you all well, and wash your hands and don't catch COVID.
Got it. Trustee Wilson.
Yeah, upon the recommendation from staff and council and for our IME, I would like to make the recommendation to, or the motion to approve the service-connected disability change of status.
There's a second by Santos. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That passes. Captain Murphy, do you remember me? I'm pretty sure you came on when I was getting ready to leave.
Captain Santos, I worked for you in and out at Station 5, I think probably my probationary year or maybe a year or two after.
Well, the best to you. I'm sorry to hear you got injured so bad that you had to leave early, but best to you and your wife, and hope you guys are safe and enjoy your retirement.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, man. Also note that our CEO, Roberto Pena, is here. He just got here this little while because he's busy because I talked to him this morning.
Yes.
It's about, I don't know, 8 o'clock, somewhere near.
Yep.
Okay, next we have Aurelio Rodriguez, San Jose Police Officer, San Jose Police Department, request to change to a status to a service-connected disability effective September 2019 with 27.23 years of service. Is Officer Rodriguez available?
He's on Zoom.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
So, thank you.
Here we go. Amy, go right ahead.
The applicant's name is Aurelio Rodriguez. His classification is police officer. His application is for a change of status to a service-connected disability retirement. The body parts listed on his application are left and right knees. His disability retirement application was received on 8-6-19. His current status is service retirement effective 9-21-19. Date of separation is 9-20-19. His status at time of application was leave of absence. His status at time of separation was also leave of absence. Permanent work restrictions are no running, no repetitive squatting, no kneeling, no climbing, and no involvement in altercations with suspects. Regarding the accommodation of restrictions, the department could not accommodate.
Thank you, Amy. Russ?
Sandra and I are recommending that you adopt as your recommendation the grant of this application. We looked at the relevant date of September 2019. We're recommending this only as to the left knee, not as to the right knee. You heard the permanent work restrictions and that the department cannot accommodate them. So we think a conclusion of incapacity is well established in the medical evidence. As far as service connection, we look to the two incidents in 2016, plus the left knee surgery, the partial knee replacement in 2018. And we note that our IME concluded that Officer Rodriguez's employment with the police department contributed in a real and measurable way to his incapacity. And we find that persuasive. And we recommend that you adopt as your recommendation grant the application.
Thank you, Russ and Sandra. Officer Rodriguez, you want to address the committee?
Yes, my goal was to, thank you so much for having me and looking at this. My goal was to do 30 years from the first day that I was that I became an officer for San Jose. I enjoyed the job. I enjoyed the people that I work with. I enjoyed the public. And my goal was to do 30 years. I tried to get the 30 years by going to work hurt for a couple years prior to the surgery. I just couldn't keep going anymore. I was having trouble walking. That was putting me at risk and putting my fellow officers at risk. And my only regret is that I couldn't get the 30 years and do the full term. But I got the 27, and I'm happy about that. I'm very proud about my work there.
We sure appreciate that. So with that, we'll go Trustee Wilson.
Yeah, Aurelio, you didn't make 30, you did 27. That's a good long run in any regard. You definitely did a lot of good work while you were there, and we definitely appreciate that. With that being said, we'll make the motion to approve a change of status to service-connected disability for Aurelio.
And I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
So, Officer Rodriguez, we appreciate all the service and what you've done for the city of San Jose and its residents, and hope you do well and be safe.
Thank you so much. You will. You also.
Thank you. Okay, next, we have Ted Trujillo, San Jose Police Officer, San Jose Police Department, request for a change of status to a service-connected disability retirement, effective January 31, 2019, with 29.05 years of service. Is Officer Trujillo available?
There he is.
Hey.
Good morning. Good morning.
Haven't seen you for a long time, but.
In a while, yes.
Good to you. Amy, go right ahead, please.
The applicant's name is Ted Trujillo. His classification is police officer. His attorney is Sam Swift. His application is for a change of status to a service-connected disability retirement. The body parts listed on his application are left knee. The disability retirement application was received on 12-13-18. His current status is service retirement effective 1-31-19. Date of separation is 1-30-19. The status at time of application was full duty. Status at time of separation was also full duty. Permanent work restrictions are no repetitive squatting, kneeling, climbing, or running, and no climbing fences nor pursuing suspects. Regarding the accommodation of restrictions, the department could not accommodate.
Thank you, Amy. Russ?
Sandra and I recommend that you adopt as your recommendation the granting of this application. We looked at the relevant date of January 2019. We looked at the left knee, we noticed the diagnosis of osteoarthritis plus the surgery. As to incapacity, we noted significant permanent work restrictions, which the department couldn't accommodate. We noted that he was nominally on full duty at data separation. But as we just heard with the prior application, I'm sure Officer Trio would confirm, you know, you can sort of go through the motions, but you're just not really, you do the best you can, but you're not 100%. And we noticed that Dr. Pompan, our independent medical examiner, listed very, very significant work restrictions as of January 2019. So we think the issue of full duty is more than offset by the medical evidence and the medical conclusions by our IME. As to service connection, we note that originally, way back in 2001, Officer Trujillo had an injury, and just a few months, well, 6 months later, had to have surgery with respect to that injury. Then we jump ahead about 17 years to October 2018, another left knee injury and surgery 2 months later. So we think service connection is clear under these facts.
Thank you, Ruth. Officer Trio, you want to comment to the committee before we make a decision?
Sure. First of all, thank you for your support and all the work that you do. I love my job at San Jose Police Department, obviously with my career, but it was also an amazing adventure. I love the people that I worked with. I love the different assignments that I had. I would have kept working. I love that job. And again, thank you for all that you do.
Trustees Wilson.
Yeah, just to make a note that, you know, Ted worked, when I got to know him, actually, longer than I was, but when I got to know him, he was working mayor's detail, and well, he didn't take a bullet for the mayor, he gave his knee and his body. So we thank him for his time and his service to the city and all our constituents. And with that, we'll make the motion to approve the service-connected disability for Ted Trujillo.
And that's a second. Roll call?
Aye.
Aye. So that passes. You're granted service-connected disability. And Ted, I've seen him through the years and the politics and with the mayor and everybody protecting and whatever have you. I run across him once in a while. There's no question when he said he loved the job 49 years. So it's a long time in today's standards. It's very difficult.
And what you may not know is he continues to serve as head of our police foundation, correct?
Yeah, I'm the executive director now of the San Jose Police Foundation. And I love it, giving back to the police department. We did an actual great job this past year. We raised about $400,000 for the foundation, which goes back to the police department.
Yeah. It was always good seeing you during the years, and unfortunately, you get injured, and that's a sad part. But I hope you live long enough to enjoy your retirement. Be healthy.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for your service.
Thanks,
Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Alberto Valdez, San Jose Police Department, San Jose Police Officer, request for a change of status to a service-connected disability retirement effective December 14th, 2019, with 54.14 years of service. And with that, we'll go to Amy.
The applicant's name is Alberto Valdez. His classification is police officer. His attorney is Thomas Boyle. His application is for a change of status to a service-connected disability retirement. The body parts listed on his application are neck, right and left shoulders, lower back, left knee, and right knee. Disability retirement application was received on 9/12/19. His current status is service retirement effective 12/14/19. His date of separation is 12/13/19. His status at time of application was leave of absence. His status at time of separation was also leave of absence. Regarding restrictions, there's a long list, so please refer to the executive summary in the applicant's file to view. Regarding accommodation of restrictions, the department could not accommodate.
Thank you, Amy. Before we go to Russ, is Officer Valdez on the virtual line there?
I am here.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you.
I'm here too.
Sandra and I jointly recommend to you adopting as your recommendation the granting of this application. We looked at the relevant data, December 2019. As to body parts, we relied only on the neck, the low back, and both knees. We did not rely on either shoulder. Amy referred you to the list of lengthy list of permanent work restrictions, and we know almost all of them are for the body parts that for which we're recommending granting. That very few that they relate to the neck, the low back, and both knees. And we also note the department can't accommodate them, so we think a conclusion make capacity is very appropriate. As to service connection, the low back had three incidents that contributed to the low back problems, two incidents for the right knee, one incident for the left knee, surgery in 2010, and as we've heard many a time, it often takes 10 plus years for the effects of an initial, in this case, knee surgery, knee injury, plus the surgery to produce symptoms such as osteoarthritis. And as to the neck, Dr. Ishizui found that the symptoms of the neck were reflected in the right shoulder, but they're still coming from the neck, and they arose from a 2005 injury. We think of the, and Dr. Ishizui concluded that all these work incidents aggravated sort of Mr. Alvarez's tendency to osteoarthritis. But we think that conclusion of aggravation is persuasive and supported in the medical evidence.
Thank you, Russ. Officer Valdez, would you like to address the committee before we make that decision?
Sure. Yeah, I just want to thank you guys. I hope you survived the storm this weekend. It's kind of horrific. But I planned on retiring this January, and I really regret not being able to. I love my job, and I love the people that I work with, and I loved helping the community. But that's it. Thank you for considering the case here.
You're welcome. Trustee Wilson?
Yeah, I also know Bert pretty well. Saw him towards the end of his career, and he was one, like Bobby, you know, he'd show up to work, and you can tell he was in a lot of pain, but he was still there to give everything he could. So I'm proud to say that he gave as much as he could to the city and the people serving it with him by his side. Sad that he couldn't go out on his own terms, but happy to make the motion for a service-connected disability retirement change of status.
I'll second that. Roll call?
Aye.
Aye. So you're granted a service-connected disability. Officer Valdez, you can go to the boardroom on March 7th if you'd like to, but it's on the consent calendar. And we wish you nothing but the best, and thank you for your service. And be safe, and I hope you enjoy your retirement.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. So next we have a number of four. It's called New Business Discussion and Action Approval of Disability Retirement Application Rules and Procedures. Is there any discussions? Anybody got any questions?
It's Maytag.
Oh, Maytag. Go right ahead, please.
Yeah, so let me go ahead and introduce this item. As a part of our governance project, we are memorializing the process that we have for processing the disability retirement applications, both at the ORS level, committee level, and board level. What we're doing is memorializing in writing for the public, as well as staff and members and future generations, what our process has been in practice, so that we have it all in one centralized written document. Now, so the document that we have here reflects the committees and the boards and the ORS's process for processing the disability retirement applications. However, there are a few aspects of this policy that are new, and so I did want to highlight those new aspects for the committee. One is to require the member to provide updated contact information throughout the process so that ORS can contact them to continue with their application. And at every juncture that ORS communicates with the member, we will be providing them a copy of these rules and procedures so that they are aware of them. The policies also include, as a new aspect, what to do if a member becomes non-responsive during the disability application process. And so if you look here at paragraphs, keep scrolling. 11 and 12, stop, scroll back up to 11. Thank you. As you'll see in paragraphs 11 through 13, what we have here is the procedures for when a member goes non-responsive, meaning that the member fails to communicate back to ORS once we've sent them a communication. What it requires here is one, for ORS to create a log, but also for ORS to communicate to the member twice per communication method provided at the last known contact information provided, and to do so within 90 days from the last communication. So just to summarize, twice per communication method within a 90-day period of the last communication. And once that has occurred, the application then will proceed to the next stage. So for example, if we were to communicate to the member at the initial application filing for setting it for an IME appointment, that would be the first stage of the application. And then the other few stages, as you're aware, is proceeding to the disability committee and then later on to the board. Note that at any juncture of the phases of the disability retirement application process, the member can reappear and communicate, and we would again engage the member. This is only to help the application move along in the process rather than stall in the process and hold up the remaining caseload for disability retirement applications that are pending before the committee and the board. Now, one thing I did want to note for the committee, if we could please scroll back up to the first page, I believe it's paragraph 5. Thank you. So the policy here delegates to the committee the discretion to modify or excuse strict compliance with these rules, subject to a showing of good cause. Now, we have here good cause for the purposes of these rules include excusable neglect, events that the applicant does not have control of, including but not limited to unexpected illness or family emergencies or other equitable considerations. And so I just want to note for the committee that while these procedures generally set our practice, the committee does have discretion to deviate from them subject to good cause and showing of good cause. So those are the main features of the disability application process that are different from what we currently do. And with that, I open it up for questions from both the public and the committee members.
Okay, we got Sam, go right ahead.
Not having seen a copy, but on the provisions for
Sam, can I bother you to come here so that we can?
That was the first question I was going to ask. Yeah. Also, is that everybody been notified? So let's start with Sam, and then we'll go from there.
With regard to the notices to people who are out of contact, I'm hoping that it also requires the attorney to be notified.
That's right. So any individual that's listed on there, for example, if there is an attorney listed, they're obviously considered care of for that member. We would notify their attorney as well. And also, so this just to be clear, this policy will be applied prospectively. So once the board adopts it, currently we put it before the committee. The committee then needs to recommend it be adopted by the board level for it to take effect.
My only other comment, when a proposal like this is made, it would be nice if the attorneys who normally appear before this body would get a copy of it in advance so that we might review it before you take action.
You can certainly bring your comments subject to the committee's recommendations to the board. The board will hear this at their next board meeting, which is scheduled for, I believe, the first Thursday of March.
March 7th.
I'm sorry.
No, I understand that and I appreciate that, but let's make sure that they all get the copies first. Like example, did the Retiree Association get a copy? This is not negative. I'm just asking. Did the POA get a copy?
Well,
Local 230. So it's good because so we can get the input, and from here, then we can recommend it to the board if that's the case. So let's just try it that way. If we deferred this, would it cause any problems? Because I'm not looking for problems. I'm trying to solve problems.
Sure. So,
Tag, if we deferred it, would it cause a problem?
I defer that to staff. We as far as I understand it, this is the process that we currently have in place. So
Russell, he's been on several retirement boards, so he has a lot of experience, and I want to make sure that we review all.
Mr. Chair, may I make a suggestion?
Oh, sure.
If we pass this today or make the motion to bring it to the full board, it doesn't go into effect until the full board takes a vote on March 7th. So if we include with that, mailing out or emailing the attorneys of record that we normally deal with, along with local 230 POA and retirement services, they will have roughly 3 weeks to review the document and show up on March 7th to air any concerns that they would have. And I think that might be the more appropriate time for them to do that.
I think it's a great suggestion, but let me go to Roberto and say, can we meet that deadline?
Yes, no, actually, I was just going to say exactly what Dave said, maybe with an accent, but about the same concept. Yeah, so
I can try.
I think that will make sense, and we'll make sure that whoever, you know, is involved in this process gets a chance to have it so that they can be ready to make any suggestions or comments at the board meeting.
Great.
And then I have one more question for Maytek, if you don't mind, sir.
Sure. Of course.
Maytek, on number 11, the last sentence says, ORS shall not issue a final written notice until ORS has contacted the applicant via every communication method listed in paragraph 7 above at least twice in the 90-day period.
Correct.
Should that be has attempted to contact? Because if they've actually contacted the person, we wouldn't have to give final notice.
Well, yes, we can clarify to say it's attempted to contact the applicant rather than saying they've successfully contacted. The idea here is that we've tried to reach the member at a certain amount of definitive points, at which point we can go ahead and move the application to the next stage.
Right. Yeah, I understood what we were trying to get at there. I just thought it didn't read correctly, in my opinion.
That's okay. Certainly, we can add that.
Is Russ, Sandra, and Amy, and Barbara, anybody have any other comments?
I would just like to say that I really want to thank Maytek for all her work on this, both work under time pressure and the quality of the work. I think having these rules down has been is a real advantage to both boards and both committees. And it's great to finally see them in place.
Yeah, if you saw our last meeting that we just had, Maytek read all kinds of information, policies, and procedures that the city and us to come together in terms of our governance committee. So there's a lot of work being done. And the ultimate goal is to make sure that we're all on the same page. And so I like Trustee Wilson's suggestion. So any public comment before we make a decision? Tom, out there, our other attorney, I know you're out there. Any comments?
No, I don't have any comment. I've listened and understand what everyone's talking about. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sam, any else?
No.
Think that'll be appropriate? Everybody will be okay?
Yeah, and I appreciate that suggestion. So if, you know, I would recommend staff go ahead and send that out to the requisite interested parties. As far as I understand it, just for the clarity of record, it would be the POA, the Local 230, the retiree associations. And are there any other additional entities that the committee would like this to be sent out to? Just so we're on the same page and don't miss anybody.
Yeah, I would suggest attorneys of record that we've used in the past being Sam Swift, Don Novi, and Tommy Boyle. And do you have another one?
Oh, or Roberto, your staff.
We'll check with them which attorneys we had in the past, and we'll do that.
And also the positions and so on. Let them see this stuff. This is all helpful.
And Sam, you were going to make a comment?
Well, I was going to say it would be easier, but it's not going to happen, to have this discussion at the next Disability Committee meeting before discussing it in front of a retirement board who has, by and large, no clue about how this process works.
I mean, it's really up to the committee whether or not they believe the policy as written is ready to go, or if it wants to defer to get further input. We're happy to do it either way.
Well, hold on a minute. Trustee Wilson said 3 weeks, and I said I think it's adequate time. And
okay.
If they need any suggestions, they can contact us, and then we can have that address it to the board that we discuss it. But there's some things that need to be added. 3 weeks is reasonable time.
Well, just for a procedural point, though, not to be overly lawyerly, but if the committee recommends this written policy, which is agendized here, that would be the policy that would be put forth before the board. And so it would not necessarily reflect all the comments by the interested stakeholders. And so that's why I'm noting here that if you do recommend this policy, this recommended policy as written would be go before the board. Now we can at the board level entertain comments from others and change and edit those at that time. But I did want to just make clear for the committee that if you do recommend this, it would be this written policy. So with that background, I defer to the committee.
You got Russ going.
And Maytag, wouldn't it also be available to the board at that time, depending on the quantity and quality of the comments made in this period, to refer it back to the disability committee?
They could certainly do that too, but that would prolong the process.
Yeah, so Sam, I mean, to going around to answer your question is we want to move forward on this issue in an efficient manner. But I think I understand your concern. So we'll take it to the board. If you or other parties have strong objections or a large number of issues to be considered, not only can we discuss that at the board level, but if there are too many to be addressed at the board or too confusing, the board can refer the matter back to the committee. If it just were here or clarification, we can either do that before the meeting or at the board level, but to the extent possible, we prefer to take it to the board and address it in that fashion. Again, you haven't had a chance to review it, but if there are going to be a lot of comments, we can always address that at the board level and bring the item back to the committee for further discussion. I understand where you're coming from.
Okay. Here's the other thing, Sam, when you go home and get the time and so on, if something comes up, just give me a call. I'll make sure that voice is heard at the meeting. There's no question. So we're all trying to be efficient, but not fast. You know, we're trying to get it done. So you're okay with that, Dave?
Yeah, do we need a motion on
this? Yes, we're going to need a motion on accepting the procedures and policies and the disability retirement application rules and procedures. So with that, there's a motion.
I will make a motion to accept the policy as written with a recommendation for the board to approve barring any major developments between now and then.
And I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
And we'll make sure that everything gets up. Thanks, Roberto. And get Sam, if something comes up, give me a call. Be glad to make sure you have a voice there. Okay, any public comments? Is there any proposed agenda items? One more time, one more. Any public comments? Again, thanks to the staff, everybody caring about me at my laptop and all that. Really appreciate it. It's storming out there. People are busy, and Chris come all the way down. Those are good things, and appreciate it. With that, we'll adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you all.